let's bring in Shai Davidi. He's our MLB insider on Sportsnet. And Shai, I know you've written Yanhervis Solarte's name in connection with the Blue Jays before. I know Ben Nicholson-Smith has. It's no surprise. You look at the guy as far back as last year, he profiles as the type of guy Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro have been looking for, doesn't he?
Yeah, very much so, because of the versatility and the fact that he's a switch hitter. And look, you know, the Padres had some surplus in their infield too, and that was a factor that he was going to be available. And as you mentioned, they didn't make a very significant spend in prospect capital to get him, and it's a reasonable financial outlay, fits well within their payroll structure for the next few years. So it's a nice move on all those fronts. But I think the key here, and you touched on it, and I guess Stephen Brent touched on it in the morning show, is that this is a significant upgrade to an area that was, you know, sort of an offensive black hole for them last year with Goins and Barney getting 800 at-bats. I mean, you don't want to give those guys those at-bats. But, you know, Solarte is going to play one way or the other. But if there's an injury hole at shortstop or at second base, you know, this is a guy you actually feel good about giving at-bats to.
Yeah, I don't know if this is necessarily part of the plan, but taking a look at the Blue Jays roster right now, you've got Justin Smoke as a switch hitter. Solarte is a switch hitter. Richard Urania, who probably won't be on the team, he is a switch hitter. Dalton Pompeo, he's a switch hitter. And Kenrys Morales is a switch hitter. So, you know, there is a chance next year that at various, you know, there's a very good chance that the Jays may have three switch hitters in the lineup on almost an everyday basis.
Well, I mean, balance is something that we've been talking about even since 2015, when the Jays had a tremendous offensive season. It was less of a priority because everyone was just hammering the ball. But very much so, this is something that the Blue Jays feel has been an issue for them at the plate in 2016 and particularly 2017, is that they needed to have some balance and get some more at-bats with some platoon advantage in them. And this gives them an opportunity to do that and to break up a run of righties. And you know, one of the things that, you know, talking to some observers have felt about the Blue Jays in the last few years is that they were vulnerable to certain righties who could just get into a rhythm and just, you know, be fastball in, slider away, and lock in that way because there's a extended run of right-handed batters in the lineup and no one to really break up their rhythm. So this is something that addresses that to a certain degree. But I think, above all, manager John Gibbons has some flexibility now. Mm-hmm. And this is something that he didn't have in any way, shape, or form, where, you know, desperate times meant, you know, starting Josh Donaldson at shortstop and, you know, stints for Russell Martin and Jose Bautista at third base and really playing guys out of position. Whereas now with both Solarte and Aledmys Diaz, who they acquired earlier this winter, there's some real flexibility on the roster.
Right, and let's be clear, Aledmys Diaz, they're hoping for a bounce back from him. I mean, people are going to look at his numbers and they're going to shrug. But I looked at that acquisition as simply taking a chance on a guy who might be able to bounce back. I mean, to me, with him and Solarte, and I, you know, I don't know about Gift and Gopé. I quite frankly don't think he makes the team. But I mean, with those two guys alone, they're much better. With a healthy Devin Travis and Troy Tulowitzki, that's a much better infield.
Right. I mean, they do take, you know, if those two guys are in the middle infield, there is a bit of a step back defensively compared to Goins and Barney. But there's legitimate thump in those bats, and they can make actual contributions to the batting order. So that's a big gain. And the other thing is that, again, they come with a bit more positional flexibility, so they could do different things with them around the diamond. And in the best case scenario, you know, they're having issues in terms of finding playing time for those two guys, along with Tulowitzki and Devin Travis. That's the best case scenario for them. One that's no guarantee to happen, but one the Blue Jays are certainly hoping is the case.
And you know, when you look at Solarte, he has been productive out of the number two spot in the batting order as well. Last year, small sample size, he had 69 at bats and 80 plate appearances, but he did hit .333. He spent most of his time as a cleanup hitter for the Padres, which maybe says more about the Padres than him. But now all of a sudden, if you have a switch hitter like that in the number two spot in the order, it allows you to maybe put drop Josh Donaldson a bit and make up for, you know, the lack of thump you're going to have with Jose Bautista gone. He just profiles nicely for that lineup as well, because I love the idea of having a switch hitter in the number two spot in the order.
Right. And look, I mean, depending what ends up happening at the end, maybe he's, maybe this creatively, he could be a leadoff guy for him. I mean, this
sure.
is a guy who in 2016 had a 341 OBP. And, you know, the Blue Jays have had a lot of success with, you know, Donaldson at two in the lineup mm-hmm. and Justin Smoke at three. But one way or the other, regardless of how you structure the batting order, I think pivotal is that the Blue Jays just get more on base for those two guys, so they're getting more at bats with guys on base, and when they do hit the ball hard, as they invariably will, they're able to actually create some damage, and rather than just creating opportunities for guys behind them in the lineup.
So, Charlotte, okay, let's blue sky this a bit. And Troy Tulowitzki and Devin Travis are healthy coming out of spring training, and they're good to go. What do you do now with the Yanhervis Solarte and with Aledmys Diaz? If you're the Blue Jays, I mean, first of all, you're not worrying about it because it's a pleasant, I understand it's a pleasant problem to have, but how do you think the Blue Jays approach that? Because, you know, I know we've talked in the past about Devin Travis possibly going to left field. I know you've spoken to people in the organization, I have, and boy, there's a real split in that organization as to whether that should even be considered.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's like the conversation seems to change depending on, mm-hmm. on when you ask the question too. In terms of Devin Travis, I've heard everything from there's no evidence to prove that this would be something that would actually make him feel better, to this is something we're having active conversations about. So I really don't know where things stand there, but that could be one creative option for them in terms of way to find some playing time. You know, Ross Atkins over the weekend mentioned that Solarte has some limited experience in the outfield. Aledmys Diaz, if I remember correctly, had a handful of games in the outfield as well. So I think the Blue Jays can sort of really mix and match a little bit and just rotate guys in and out. But I also do believe that they really want to try and get guys a little bit more regular rest, especially for Troy Tulowitzki and Devin Travis. My guess is that the Blue Jays are going to manage their workload especially carefully, at least in the beginning of the season, to try and ease their way back in and try to keep them healthy over the course of 162, rather than just, you know, running them out there for a month, or perhaps running them into the ground and watching them suffer a setback.
So where do the Jays go next? They've managed to address the middle infield. They've, and by extension, Shai, as you pointed out, they've managed to address the bench as well. You know, we know they'd like to add another outfielder. I mean, the perfect world, they add another outfielder, they add another starting pitcher, and they probably add a more impactful backup catcher. But the Jays don't live in a perfect world. Not even in this slow-moving marketplace do they live in a perfect world. Where do you see them looking next? I mean, clearly they need to add an outfielder, do they not?
Right, and my guess is that it would be between the outfield and the rotation. And, you know, what kind of starter they can end up adding, I think it depends to some degree on what kind of outfielder they add. I think those two moves are intertwined because, you know, if they can manage to spend in a more limited way, the way they did on Solarte, because of the being a $4.125 million commitment, well, then they can afford to splurge on one or the other, or maybe they take some of their, you know, roughly $20 million, I believe they still have available, and sort of split it evenly or allocate more to one area than the other. I think that's some of the debate that they'll be having. And my guess is that beyond that, they'll look for some value play relievers, some guys who might have some bounce back and a bit of recovery, who won't have a very big price tag attached to them, and then look at backup catcher from there.
Where do you think the Jays go in terms of looking for outfielders right now? I mean, we've seen them connected even with Andrew McCutchen, which, you know, I don't see that. I mean, there is a matchup, I guess, with Pittsburgh. They certainly seem to have what Pittsburgh wants, but it seems to me that if you're going to get one of those big outfielders, you're probably going to have to move one of your top end prospects. Connor Green, I mean, we spoke to people at the winter meetings. I know you have as well. I don't I haven't run into too many teams that view Connor Green as, you know, anything other than a prospect. He certainly isn't on anybody's radar as a top, you know, a top pitching prospect, I don't think, based on what we've seen in the minors. Where do you think the Jays go, and what do you think they have to move in order to get that outfielder? Because it's, you know, you're right when you talk about the outfielder, but I think the Jays at least want to think of getting an impactful guy, somebody who can come in and do more than simply be just a, you know, a replacement level player.
Sure, and I think what we've seen in the two trades so far with for Solarte and for Diaz is, in a sense, a blueprint of what they'd like to try to do in terms of the type of prospect capital they'd like to surrender. You know, they haven't traded from their primary group, and I think there could be an interesting debate whether Connor Green is still in their primary group or not, but you know, this is still a guy who throws 100, and if he figures out a more effective secondary pitch, then look out. So I don't know that the Blue Jays are in a rush to give him up, but he's probably got a bit more value than the industry is giving him credit for right now. But you know, that's the kind of, if the Pirates are willing to take that sort of level of prospect for an Andrew McCutchen, for a Josh Harrison, the Cincinnati Reds for an Adam Duvall, or a Billy Hamilton, that's the kind of trade I can still see them making. Then potentially, you know, if the Blue Jays decide that, you know, that they can maybe get a starting pitcher cheaper, or they're more comfortable with their group and will just sort of look for depth adds, then maybe they go and spend a little bit bigger and try to get a Lorenzo Cain type via free agency. So, you know, there are all these dominoes that can fall, but I wonder, just based on the way they did their business last year, if the Blue Jays are sort of getting to the point now where they start setting some deadlines for the teams they're having trade talks with in the next little while and say, look, are we getting it done or not? And if those deals aren't happening, then they move to their other options and alternatives.
Yeah, I would think, based on how we saw them handle the situation with Edwin and a couple of other situations, that they probably, I mean, that does appear to be their MO, doesn't it? I'm not going to get hung up. If you're not going to make a move, then, you know, move on to plan B or move on to plan C. I didn't want to ask you the Winterfest or Winter Caravan, Winterfest, whatever it's being called this year. The Jays are bringing up a lot of prospects and are really going out of their way to market the Vladdy Juniors and the Bo Bichettes. Do you read anything into that? Or is that just simply, you know, a realistic indication of where this organization is now? And is it a means of getting people, you know, getting people to meet players that, I mean, they've heard of? I mean, they spent the past 2 years talking about Vladdy Jr. and Bo Bichette.
Well, I mean, it also does coincide with sort of the rookie orientation camp that they sort of hold as well, right? And they bring players who they feel can make an impact in the next year or two, potentially, or join the team and sort of familiarize themselves with the settings and with the routines and what they can expect, and run through all these different training programs for them. So,
it's more logistical in a lot of ways than perhaps message oriented. To the
public. At the same time, I do think that there is a real marketing element to, you know, Bo Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I mean, these are two people that the fan base are excited about and legitimately should be excited about based on their prospect profile so far. Is that a substitute for the big league team? No. But, you know, logistically, it's probably a bit easier for them. It gives their big league players a bit of a break rather than sort of hustling them in and out. Especially given the weather, you know, no one's going to be sad about missing a little minus 25 or whatever it's been. So I think that all those things sort of play together. And it is interesting, but I do think that this is where the future of this team lies. And that transition is going to come within the next year or two or a bit more than that. And so I think if you're the team, probably makes some sense to start giving your fans an opportunity to get to know them.